And again, do that for the Lord. Would you please do that for the Lord? And let your voice out while you're at it. God is in this house. Jesus is among us today in power, authority. Thank you, Brother Varnum. God bless you, lovely people. I want to draw your attention today in the book of Psalms, Psalm 105, verse 1. Through the last several years, I've given a lot of thought to this. And so in your hearing today, King David wrote in Psalm 105, verse 1, he said, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people." In other words, tell what God has done and continue to tell what God has done. Make known his deeds among the people. That's really all the Bible is. It's a written recording of God's deeds among his people. And then Paul wrote to his son Timothy in the gospel in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. It's a word of admonition, actually. You can feel a father's spirit in this wording. He was saying, "Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Until I come, give attendance to studying, exhortation to doctrine." There is unlimited potential in this room right here today. There is, I repeat, unlimited potential in this room right here today. And with that in mind, there are things I want to transmit to you today, impart to you. Would you lift your hands, your voices, and your hearts, and would you not worry about the person next to you, but let your voice out and ask God to help you to receive exactly what he wants you to receive. Lord Jesus, by the authority of the Word of God, by the power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have come here to exalt you, to hear, O Master of the universe, from you directly. Speak to our minds, our hearts, our emotions, our very souls, our intellect. Lord Jesus, today I pray, anoint us both to hear and to speak. Help us to feel the brush of angels' wings, the touch of the Master's hand. I pray for revelation and understanding to come upon each and every individual within the sound of my voice at this very moment in time. Lord Jesus, we praise you for it. We thank you for it. Blessed be the name of Jesus forever. Clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Lord bless you. You may be seated. I am a life member with NRA, the National Rifle Association. And I have been for a number of years. I was born and raised in a farm community area in the state of Iowa. We lived a lot on wild game, pheasant, venison, squirrel, rabbit, did a lot of fishing in the bayou, that type of thing. And if you know anything at all about hunting, you will know that a good hunter stalks the game. Men who are proficient deer hunters, they stalk the deer along the trails that they travel. If you walk through the forest, especially where I live in upstate New York, you'll find deer trails. You'll cross them. They are creatures of habit. They will use those trails for years and years. And so hunters that know what they're doing, they will build deer stands and all their camouflage equipment, etc., along those trails, stalking the deer, knowing that that animal will come through there and they're able to get them. God stalks man. Late last night, the Holy Ghost spoke to me. And again this morning when I woke up, he said, before you today, in that auditorium, there are many that I am stalking. God stalks you along the spiritual trails you follow, along the emotional trails you follow, along the intellectual trails that you follow. And he will stalk you, and he will stalk you, and he will stalk you until he can get you. And he doesn't give up. Some of you, before Jesus comes, will be mightily used by God. If you feel a witness of that in your own heart, it doesn't matter what the person around you thinks, but give voice to that calling, to that stalking, if you please. There already is an impartation from God upon many of you right now. So just one more time, clap your hands and just exalt him with a voice of praise, worship, adoration, veneration. Jesus, I worship you because you are God. God stalks man. Jeremiah, for example, it was ordained by God that Jeremiah would be a prophet before he was ever conceived in his mother's womb. Some people are born with a destiny. They're not the same as other people. They never get to live like other people. I work with a lot of young people. I'm working with 3 or 4 young people right now. And I can tell that they were born with a destiny. I travel much of this country. And just a few months ago, I was in a meeting. There was a young man in that altar service. And I could tell God had his hand on him. And so I walked over to him one day. He was a nice-looking chap. And it would appear to me from my observations that the whole church liked him. And that the young people all liked him. Everyone seemed to like him. And he responded. I'd watch him respond to the various people that would come of all ages. And yet, as they walked away, I took note of something. So after a couple of nights, I walked over to him and I said, I don't know what your name is. I said, but son, I'm very impressed with you. I said, everyone likes you in this church, I can tell. Young people like you, even children like you. I said, but you're still very much alone, aren't you? His eyes filled with tears. He said, yeah, Brother Stone King, I am. I said, would you like me to tell you why? He said, yes. I said, because when you were born with a destiny. You'll never get to live to the same excessive riot that other people live to and live for. You have been lifted to a higher level of operation. I'm talking to a number of people here right now that can relate to what I've just said. So in a gesture of benevolent kindness, let's everyone cover those people with praise and prayer to Jesus for just a moment in time. Let your voice out. Because out of this conference this year, something has been born that will never die. Let your voice out. Jesus, I worship you. Now, if you feel that Jesus just heard you, clap your hands again for just a moment. Jesus. In Jesus' name. A number of years ago, when Brother Sister Willoughby were still alive in Singapore, we were wonderful friends. They were guests in my home. I entertained them. I spent a lot of time with them in their country. A burden. Steve Willoughby was the brother I never had. We were like brothers. He always dreamed about the fact that someday he and I would get in trains and we would travel all over Europe and preach revival throughout our churches in Europe. And I told him I would do it. We had plans to do that. And he passed away. There's some things I don't understand, people. I don't understand Barb Willoughby and Steve Willoughby. He was an apostle. She was a prophetess. They did some of the greatest work ever been done on foreign soil. They had inroads into mainland China. Not just thousands, millions of people. I met some of the underground leaders, worked with them. It was amazing. And they're both gone. I don't understand why they're both gone. But God didn't ask me to understand. He just asked me to trust and believe. So I trust and believe. But I miss them. But in their services in Singapore, after I was raised from the dead and went there the next year in Singapore to preach to them, Brother Willoughby informs me when I arrive, he said, Brother Stone King, he said, this whole meeting is going to be the miraculous. We've advertised it as miraculous signs and wonders every night. And that's the first I'd heard about it. I said, all right. So the first night I get there, and we had a move of God. And they have a big theater, and it was packed with people. Well, I think it was the second night. When I got to the, I always sat down in the front over here in Singapore, and the stage was here in the platform. And Steve walked over to me and he said, there are two Muslims here tonight. One is in a wheelchair, the other he's got his arm in a sling. And he said, there's a Chinese man here who's dying with cancer of the liver. And he said, they're over here to your right. And he said, they've come for prayer. Well, I knew that somewhere while I was preaching, God would speak to me to go to them, but I didn't know exactly where. So as the service was progressing, all of a sudden, it was time to preach. And so while I was preaching, the Holy Ghost suddenly moved on me. And when he did, I turned to those two Muslim men, and the older man was in this wheelchair, and he was slumped over like this, and they had a towel around his neck. He was drooling from his mouth. He had his limbs were just basically immobile. And but the younger Muslim man had a stroke, and he must have been about 35, 40 years old, and this arm was in a sling and a cast type thing. And I went to him. And when I went to this younger man and began to pray for him, he walked this direction, and he came and stood right here in the middle. And I went back to him, and as I was praying for him, all of a sudden, he took this left arm and reached over to the right arm and threw the sling off, and it fell to the floor, and he slowly raised this arm, which he was not able to move at all. It went above his head just like that. And he was miraculously healed. Miraculously healed. And so, when that happened, faith came into that place. And they have a lot of young people in that church at that time. Then I walked back to the older Chinese man, or the older Muslim man. And I reached down to him, and I put my arm through his arm. And I said to him, I'm going to pull you out of this chair. I'm going to walk you in Jesus' name. I mean, why not? We say we have it. Why not try it? Why not do it? I mean, come on. So, it was amazing. When I put my arm through his arm and pulled, he pulled against my arm. That means he wanted out of the chair. He pulled. He was doing his part. I pulled him up, and he began to, I was dragging him, literally. He was just leaning on me. I kept saying, in Jesus' name, don't be afraid. I won't let you fall. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Because that's where it is. It's in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All of a sudden, he cut his own weight. And I knew that God had healed him. He straightened his body. He began to walk. I was steadying him so he wouldn't fall because the muscles were atrophied in his legs. They had not been used. But he was walking in Jesus' name. And God filled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues. He got the Holy Ghost. Then the man whose arm was in the sling, he got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They both got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They were speaking with tongues, these two Muslim men. This gospel works on anyone. I don't care what you call yourself. I don't care where you've come from. This gospel works. But you've got to preach it. You've got to preach it. You've got to make known his deeds among the people. You've got to tell what God has done, what he is able to do, what he does do, what he can do. Then the power of God was in that place. Then I walked to this aged Chinese man in the wheelchair. He was dying with cancer of the liver. His stomach had swollen to the size of a basketball. His arms were just skin and bones. He didn't speak a word of English, not a word of English. And his Buddhist relatives had brought him because they'd heard that there were going to be miracles and wonders in this meeting. And so I went over to him, and I just began to praise God and speak with tongues. Well, these Buddhist relatives, they didn't have a clue what was going on. But you don't have to have a clue as to what's going on. But I began to talk to him, and someone came and began to translate and interpret to him exactly what I was saying in English. I said, you can receive the Holy Ghost. God wants you to be saved. The words like that. And that old man began to cry, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost within just a couple of minutes, seated right there in that wheelchair, just began to speak with tongues. It was amazing. It was amazing. So then I said, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. They took that old Chinese man to the baptism. It was just a horse tank like we watered cattle out of on the farm when I grew up. That's all they had. And they took him to that tank, and they lifted him up. And remember, his stomach, that liver was so filled with cancer, it was swollen the size of a basketball, stuck way out here. When they helped that old man over the edge of that baptistry, that edge of that tank, and when he put his foot, it touched the water, his stomach went flat just like that. Just flat, just like that. Jesus, 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 Jesus. He was instantaneously healed. When those young people saw that, and this is where I want to get to. You may be seated. Those young people saw that. The next service, those Chinese young people in that church in Singapore, there was about probably 80 or 90 of them. They were, all of those kids were there. And they come from very wealthy Chinese families. Most of them, by the time they're 17, 18, already have their master's degrees. It's unbelievable the education they are involved in there. These kids were dancing and shouting and worshiping God. When they saw those miracles, the next service, they had a friend who was born deaf, their age now. They brought that deaf Chinese boy to the service. When I finished preaching on this upper level here, as the stairs went up, that level, they took that boy up there against the wall, and those Chinese kids got a hold of him, apostolic kids, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. They backed him up against that wall, and you've never heard such praying. You've never heard such commanding in all of your life, because if you've seen it, it changes everything. Everything. Oh. So I was excited for what they were doing. So I walked in among them, and they're very respectful. They opened up a highway, let me come in. But as I walked through them, I realized something. They didn't need me. They were transmitting all the faith that was needed to get the job done. So I walked out. I walked away and got involved with other people, and look, they were still at it. And so I went back again. They opened the highway. I went through, but they didn't need me, and I walked away. And I don't know, maybe 20 minutes later, all of a sudden, that deaf boy began to scream. God opened both of his ears at the hands of those teenagers that were praying in Jesus' name. That boy walked out of there hearing. He was holding his ears because it hurt. He had never had sound in his head before. I'm telling all of that to get to this. I was in a large meeting in this country. There were a bunch of teenagers over here on this side. The place was just filled with teenagers, a bunch of them. And they're worshiping God, and the place was packed. And right in the middle of my message, I walked over in front of these kids and I said, I've got you kids figured out. And they're just staring at me, you know, like you are. I said, you are sick of the games, and you're sick of the nonsense, and you're sick of the politics. You have decided you're either going to have the real thing or nothing at all. Those kids were on their feet. Those kids were on their feet with their hands clenched in the air, shouting. Their parents nearly fell over in the pew. The pastor was in a state of shock. I've got these young people's identity. I've got the pulse of their mind and their thinking. Young people do not care what you think. They don't care about your politics. They don't care about your games. They don't care about any of that nonsense. They want the real thing as it is written, or they don't want anything at all. And the young people are going to have it because they don't care what we think. They do not care what we think. The Beatles proved that way back there in the 60s. They proved that. That's what tore up the whole country. I'm telling you, there's something rising right now among young people in apostolic Christianity that's going to take over this world. There is something happening right now. God is giving birth to something that is never going to die, and it's in the hands of the youth. It's in the hands of the youth. Clap your hands again and shout, 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 shout for the victory. Shout for the miracle. Yes! Put a tail on that and just do it again. Something just happened right there. Something just happened right there. Hitler used the youth of his day to carry out his agenda. You may be seated. Mao Tse-sung in China used the youth of his day to carry out his agenda. Mao Tse-sung murdered 80 million Chinese to establish the Cultural Revolution. The Pol Pot regime did much the same thing. They used the youth of their day to accomplish their agendas. So I said to Jesus, if one man, Hitler, can tyrannize the world, if one man, Mao, can terrorize the world, the Pol Pot regime can terrorize the world, why can't you raise up some man that will bring blessing to the whole world? If one man, Hitler, one man, Mao, Pol Pot regime, and the others, Jesus, why can't you raise up a man that will bring righteousness? Just the opposite to the whole world. And he said, I have. My name is Jesus. I began to cry. But he has no hands but our hands. He has no voice now but our voice. He has no feet but our feet. In other words, we are the generation people upon whom the world ends of the world have come. It's now or never for us. If we miss this, we've missed it all. We cannot miss this moment in our time. We cannot miss this moment in the history of the church. It's now or never for us. It's now or never. It's now. I say it's now. It's now. It's now. now, not never, but now. It's our day. It is our day. We are the hands. We are the feet. We are the voice of this man called Jesus, of his kingdom. There shall never be an end. There shall never be an end. I feel like shouting. I feel like dancing. I feel like running. I feel like screaming. I feel like doing everything that my body is able to do, because he is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our shouting. He is worthy of our clapping. He is worthy of our dancing. He's alive. This Jesus is alive. He's alive. Clap your hands again and shout. Shout, shout, shout. People, you've just touched something. You've just touched something. Something you've been touched. Something has been touched in the spirit world. There's an anointing upon you. There's an anointing in the air that's beginning to fall down upon every individual here. I don't care your age. There's an anointing in the atmosphere of this sanctuary, in this conference, that is falling upon every man, every woman, every young person. You're never going to be the same. You cannot be the same because of this man called Jesus. His name is Jesus. Let your voice out. That's it. That's it, son. That's it.